Good evening, great to be with you. We are on part two of our series called Game Plan. And in this series, we're looking at a really basic but kind of game-changing idea. And that is that we can have responsibility, we can have, we can be kind of proactive in caring for our own soul, in caring for our faith. And we're basing this idea straight out of Deuteronomy. And we're going to flick straight to the passage we looked at last week, and it says this: "Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life." Keep your soul diligently. It's this idea that actually we don't have to be completely at the whim of the world around us, that our faith life and how we're doing internally isn't completely dictated by what's going on in the world. Actually, we have a responsibility to care for our soul. And so exactly what does that look like? Well, we started last week to talk about the different practices and disciplines that we see Jesus doing. You know, prayer, reading the Bible, going to times of solitude and silence, fasting, which a lot of our church have been doing this last day, giving generously, all these different practices that Jesus showed us that when we put them into action go a long way to helping us care for our soul. And we, you know, based on the series, everything's going to be tied up really neatly. We've given these a lovely little name based on the acrostic. So it is Game Plan, which obviously stands for God and Me Exercises. Very neat, very simple, very primary school, but sometimes that's helpful. Exercises, things that we can do, just us and God. Don't need the world around us, don't need anything else. It can just be us and God. But these disciplines, practices, exercises we put into place to see our faith grow. Now, I wonder if you're thinking in your own life now, in your own faith, maybe you're thinking about friends of yours who actually, in this last year, what you've seen is as those kind of external factors, as things like going to church on a Sunday, singing in times of worship together, the hug after church, the post-church pub trip, after those things have stopped happening, been stripped away, how much has that affected your faith? How much has that affected your friend's faith? Is your soul, is how you're doing on the inside dependent on things around you, or are you able to look after it yourself? Do you have a game plan for what that's going to look like? So what we're going to do today is taking that kind of broad idea, and we're going to hone in particularly on one particular game plan, exercise, God and me exercise. But before we get there, just want to highlight something that I think was really super helpful for me in how I think about this. And that is that when we talk about things like fasting, praying, reading our Bible, it's not just about where we end up. We're less bothered about some big goal. For us, we're focusing more on our commitment right here and now. What am I committed to in this moment? What am I saying that right at the start of 2021, no matter what's going on, I want to commit to me and God that I'm going to go for this. I'm going to put this into place in my life. And that it's not just about gritted teeth. It's not just about, you know, hard work and perseverance. We spoke also about some keys that we can have, some simple practical ideas that make this actually work. So it's not just some theoretical idea, but it's something we can do. So as we zoom in on one particular practice this week, we're going to be looking at Scripture, at reading our Bible, because actually this is one of the most important practices we can have as a Christian. Of all the God and me exercises, this is perhaps the one that is most key for keeping us grounded, for keeping us moving on in faith, especially when the world around us is a bit crazy. How is your life with Scripture? Actually, the Bible tells us this is super, super important, that if we're going to grow, if we're going to withstand the tough seasons, we need to be soaked in the Bible. We read it actually in Psalm 1. I love the way that this poem at the start of the book of Psalms talks about it. And the poet says here, describing what it looks like when someone is really committed to the Bible. It says this, we can read it, this is straight off the start in Psalm 1. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. First of all, I find it really hard to say whose leaf does not wither. I can't get the T's and the th's, but I hope I got it right. Someone can probably correct me. But anyway, that's a complete side point. What we have here is an amazing kind of poetic way of describing someone who is just practicing this God and me exercise of reading the Bible. And so I'm going to do my best GCSE literature, really break down the poem for us. What we have is this metaphor of a stream of water. And that stream of water is, the poet tells us, the Bible. Actually, the person who reads the Bible, the person who meditates and who loves it, it's like having this stream of water, and the person is a tree planted by it. And you get this picture of a tree that's firm, that's strong, that's secure. And the poet goes on to describe what happens when someone is planted by the stream. What happens when we are just planted in Scripture, when we're reading it over and over and really committing ourselves to it. It tells us that that tree, it yields its fruit in season. It's fruitful. Now, I don't know about you. At the moment, I do not feel very fruitful in my day-to-day life. I feel like, honestly, my average day, I wake up and I go downstairs to my little desk and I turn on my computer, do my little emails and my little Zoom calls, and then go for a walk around the harbor if I've been really good at the end of the day. And that's kind of the full extent of a day at the moment in Sam Cook's life. And it doesn't feel particularly fruitful. It's really hard to feel like I'm doing anything of note. But actually, the poet tells us that we're not talking about what's going on in the world around us. If you are rooted in Scripture, if you've got that stream of water going past you, you will be fruitful. It also tells us that this tree that's planted by the water, its leaf does not wither. I think this is just such a perfect way of describing how I feel right now. When I read that, I'm like, yes, that's me in 2021. This is my faith tree. My faith tree is holding on in 2020. It's going okay. I feel like I'm getting through. My faith is just about surviving. And then 2021 comes and I'm like, no, the leaves are going. Lockdown 3 is happening. Oh no. And you know that feeling of like, how long can I keep on going? How long can I survive? I don't know if you feel like that, if you're feeling a little bit withered, give me a big old Carey act. Give me something just to know I'm not the only one whose leaves feel like they're dropping off. But actually, what the psalmist says is when you're rooted in Scripture, when you are a tree planted by that stream, you're an evergreen tree. The seasons don't affect you. It doesn't matter if it's winter or if it's summer, if life is great or it's really tough. Actually, you continue to stand firm. Those trees, those leaves aren't dropping off. It's a great picture. And it's definitely, I think, what all of us, when we say, yeah, that'd be great. We'd love to be like that tree. That sounds really good. The reality for most of us is that isn't the case. We did a quick poll just as we started the service, and the majority of people responding, and I'll put myself in this category, said that when it comes to our Bible reading habits, it's like, it's okay, it's fine, it's not great. We're doing all right, but it doesn't, for a lot of us, and certainly for me, it doesn't look like that tree that is fruitful and standing firm. And so what I want to look at today is, how do we get there? If this is such an important God and me exercise for us, if this is a practice we want to have nailed down, how do we grow in loving Scripture? You know, the psalmist says, the person who, that tree, it's like they meditate on the word day and night, which, I don't know, they'd be lucky for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe half an hour from me. And the person delights in the law of the Lord. I don't know how often am I jumping out of bed in the morning, just running downstairs to read my Bible because I delight in it. I want to get there, but I'm being honest with you guys. I need a game plan. I need something to get me to that place. I think for a lot of us, our experience of reading the Bible and trying to practice this, it's a bit like my experience of watching Breaking Bad. So, and go with me on this. meth and the Bible. There's a link somehow, and I don't know what it is, but we'll get there. I remember when Breaking Bad first came out. I know theoretically that this show is incredible. I know the cinematography is amazing and the character development is so nuanced and the storylines intertwine. I know, you know, in theory it's brilliant. And I know that my friends will love it. If you were, you know, 2013, all we heard was, have you seen the finale of Breaking Bad? Oh my goodness, you don't watch Breaking Bad, best finale ever. And all my friends loved it. And I would sit down to watch an episode, and there were times when I thought, oh yeah, this is good TV, I'm enjoying this. But over the majority, my experience of Breaking Bad was a bit meh. And I'm sorry, angry react if you disagree with me. That's just how I felt. I was disappointed. I found it confusing and slow, and I didn't really get it. I couldn't get into it. I knew it was meant to be great, but actually, it was just a bit meh. And maybe that's how you feel about the Bible right now. That you know in theory it's brilliant. You know it's the Word of God. It's this divinely inspired truth that can change your life. You know in theory it's great. And you've seen your friends love it because you've seen their bird's eye shot on Instagram of the coffee and a really, really thoroughly highlighted Bible. And you know they love it. And actually you've had times in your life when you've really got something from the Bible, when it's really made a difference, when that verse has just come at the right time, and you know you've been impacted by it. But when you sit down day to day to read it, it's just a bit more, it's confusing. It's maybe a bit boring. Maybe we don't understand it. Maybe it feels like it wasn't written for us. And so we're going to look today at how do we move from that place of being a bit underwhelmed or a bit uncommitted in our reading of Scripture to a place where we look like the tree planted by a stream of living water that is bearing fruit, that its leaves do not wither. I think the key thing for us to take away today, and it's the key really from this whole series, is that for us, growing in this is a matter of making commitment. You know, one of the reasons I never really got into Breaking Bad is because I would kind of sit down for an episode, watch a bit, and then come back a month later and watch another episode. And I was a bit flaky. And if you're going to love something like that, you've got to commit to it. That's how you get into it. And for us, with the Bible, we can just be a bit flaky. Actually, our approach to the living water is kind of to take a mug up every so often, scoop a bit of water out, and then head back home. The Bible gives us a different picture, which is to be planted, to have our roots deep in this, to be committed. And I'm very aware that actually, if you've been a Christian for a while, maybe you're not, maybe this is kind of new to you, great, then you get let off the hook here. But for many of us, if we've been Christians for a while, we're tuning out at this point because you know what's coming. The talk is going to be, you should really read your Bible, you know. Reading your Bible is important, so be committed. And we don't know how, but we'll give it a go. I don't want to tell us off. I don't want any of that stuff because actually, this is much less about just gritting our teeth. I want to look at the difference it can make when we really grab hold of this book that is so full of life, that is so full of God's love, that is so life-changing for us, and make some really simple commitments. So this is going to be unashamedly practical. You're probably going to come out of this thinking, where was all the theology, Sam? We're going super practical this series, and part of that is because we want to go away and discuss this with our hubs and talk about actually, as a community, what have we found to be helpful when we're reading the Bible. So if you're not in a small group, which we call hubs, then do get in contact with us. Go to our website, which is /hubs, womensmetro.church/hubs, to find out more. But I'm going to give us three really simple things that we can commit to when it comes to our God and me exercise of reading the Bible. And the first one is this. You might want to commit this week, this month, this year to go deeper. To go deeper in your reading of Scripture. You might say to me, Sam, I really struggle to get anything out of it when I read the Bible. My honest response would be, and this might shock you, but you can't just read the Bible. You have to study the Bible. You can't just read the Bible. You have to study it. And what I mean by that is this book, the Bible, I've got one right here, little handy prompt. This looks like just a normal book that you could pick up like any other book, you know, like the Gruffalo or whatever your favorite is, and just pick it up and start reading. But actually, this is a collection of books. This is loads of different types of literature. This is written thousands of years ago across a span of thousands of years to cultures that are really different from our own. It's written in a language and kind of ways of writing that sometimes might feel a little alien to us. And it's written in tons of different genres. You've got the poetry of Psalms and parts of Genesis. You've got the letters that some people write to churches in the New Testament. You've got history books. You've got these wild prophecy books where people are talking about, you know, what God wants to say to people. You've got all these different types of genre of books. And actually, if we just jump in and start reading, we're never going to get everything that we want out of the Bible. And so here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you need to go away and you need to do a three-year Bible degree at Bible school just to be able to read it. That's not the point at all. What I do think, though, is that if we just dig a little bit deeper, if we make a commitment to say, I'm going to dig deeper into God's word, it can come alive for us. I remember when I started to just kind of work out and read a bit about the context that some of the letters that Paul wrote were written to, some of the different churches. And it just brought me alive for me, reading Philippians and realizing that Paul is in a prison and he's writing to a church that he loves, but he's trying to teach them in this place of being in a prison about what it means to be content and what it means to persevere. Suddenly Paul's words really come alive when you just have a little bit of knowledge, when you just dig a little bit deeper under the surface. And that can be true for every single part of the Bible. And so here, if you want to make a commitment to dig a bit deeper in your Bible reading, here's two keys that I think are super helpful. The first one is this: to get a Bible commentary. Really, really simple. You can go deeper by getting a Bible commentary. I really recommend, Tom Wright has written a whole bunch for the New Testament, which we love. And there's kind of one book per book of the Bible, of the New Testament. And he just explains a bit of what's going on. I bought them, and Amazon actually sent me two lots of them. So I've got loads. If anyone wants to borrow one, ask me. I've also got like 25 out in circulation. So if you have one of my New Testament books and you're done with it, could I have it back, please? They're quite expensive. But yeah, get a Bible commentary. Super helpful. Or even, I also love another key. Before you start reading a new book, just go on YouTube and search The Bible Project and then whatever book it is that you're reading. These guys do like 5 to 10 minute videos, just intros onto each different book. If you just do a little, watch a 5 to 10 minute video about what this book is about before you dive in, I promise you it will come alive for you. So a commitment for you might be to go deeper and see the Bible really bring to life as we dig into it. Second commitment that you might want to make is in your Bible reading, in your God and me exercise of reading the Bible, is to go wider. Go wider. And here is two groups of people that might want to consider committing to going wider. You might be the type of person who, when they get the Bible, they don't really know what to start, so they say, God, speak to me. Oh, okay. Try again. God, speak to me. And keep on going until something sticks. We've all been there. If you've been in a youth group, that was what we used to do because we were cool kids in my church's youth group. Fun story, a bit rude. If there's any kids watching, maybe turn off at this point, but it's the Bible. Someone did that in my youth group and they genuinely landed on Ezekiel 23:20, which says, and there she lusted after her lover whose genitals were like those of a donkey's and whose emissions were like that of a horse. That is in the Bible. And our youth leader had to try and turn that around and turn it into a teaching. As you can see from that story, it's probably not a great way to dig into the Bible. Or you might do, you might come down in the morning, you see a Bible and say, oh, I don't really know where to start. But I know John 3:16 is really nice, so I'll just read that. For God so loved the world, and it makes you feel good and warm inside. Or you say, don't know where to start, but I always like Psalm 23, so I'll read that. And again, it makes you feel nice, it makes you feel good, but you want to read wider in your Bible reading. And actually, if you're honest with yourself, you don't really have a plan of how to do that. You see, the problem is, if we're just reading the same stuff, or if we're just sort of flicking it open and hoping that God will speak to us, what we can end up doing is just reading bits of the Bible that show us a narrow vision of God and show us a narrow vision of how he wants us to live. Actually, the Bible as a whole is amazing because each different bit can show us different sides of God's character, of what he's like. And actually, as I read different parts of the Bible, I'm challenged to see things differently in my own life. And if it's just reading the bits that I get on with, the bits that I'm comfortable with, I can end up kind of becoming very comfortable in my Bible reading. It doesn't challenge me. It doesn't show me new sides of God. In fact, it can just get a little bit boring and easy and safe. So if that's you, if you think, I want to read wider in the Bible, I want to read more of the Bible, I want to get in and read different parts of the Bible I've never read before, here are two simple keys that can make that commitment really stick. The first one is this, is to get a plan. To get a plan, my best advice would be to go to either Bible.com or the YouVersion Bible app, and they've got a whole bunch of Bible reading plans on there. And it just helps us to stay committed, and it helps us to read more of the Bible. Even better, a second key, which I'd really recommend if you want to go wide in your Bible reading, is to read along with friends. Within a couple of weeks or months of dating, me and Hannah decided that we were doing distance, so what we would do was read the same chapter of the Bible in the morning and send each other a little voice note, which is very nice. And it was great, first of all, because you get to see, and we still do it today, it's brilliant. If we remember, we're trying. First of all, you see different parts of, you kind of see how someone else reads the Bible. It's great to see the different dynamics, the different sides of it. But what's really helpful for me is that Hannah's just better at reading the Bible, and especially when I'm trying to impress Hannah, it really keeps me on my game, and I think that's probably true for a lot of us when it comes to a bit of accountability, that when we're reading along with friends, it makes it easier to stick with it, to go deeper, to really join in with what other people are doing. So again, a simple key, maybe go to, again, the YouVersion app or Bible.com, their Bible plans, you can read along with friends, and at the end, you can chuck comments in. So, hey, as a hub this week, you might want to start a little Bible reading plan together. Maybe grab a couple of friends and say, why don't we do that as of now? You can make a commitment to read wider. Get a plan. Read along with friends. And then finally, third and final. Well done, guys. We made it this far. Good job. We're on our third and final super practical key for how we can get more out of reading our Bible at the moment. And that is making a commitment to go longer with our Bible reading. If this is you, if what I'm about to act out, which I'll admit can be me sometimes, please give me a like, maybe write in the comments, yeah, that's me. This is a morning in Sam Cook's life. I will wake up with an alarm that I've set as late as I possibly could so that I'll still be on time for work. And then I'll lie in bed for 15, 20 minutes, maybe scroll through Twitter or Instagram. And then, oh no, what's happened? I haven't got time to sit down and read my Bible properly this morning. So I'll put it in my ears and I'll walk around while I'm making my breakfast or brushing my teeth. And I'm listening to the Bible. But if I'm honest, I'm not really listening to the Bible. I sort of am, but it's a little bit token. And I'll do that, and I'll get a month down the line, and I'll say, God, why aren't you speaking to me? And it turns out it's because I haven't really been listening. I haven't been carving out time in my life for God. Maybe a commitment you need to make, and maybe this is for you if you're someone who you feel like you've got the kind of habit of reading the Bible down daily, but maybe it's become a little bit of a just sort of daily habit that you tick off, just like brushing your teeth and making your bed. Maybe you're kind of good at reading, but you want to get more out of it. You want to hear God's voice more. A really great commitment that you might want to make is to go longer in your Bible reading, to give more time. Actually, we see, again, Jesus is our role model for all of this stuff. And the bad news is, guys, that over and over again, the Bible says Jesus woke up early to go and pray. He got up while it was dark. He went away before his friends and his disciples had woken up to get away and be with God. Maybe a challenge for you right now is to sacrificially carve some time out and commit it to God and reading what he's got to say to you. When we hear God's voice, it changes our life. And the truth is that the easiest way to hear God's voice is to read what he's already said to us. But are we giving it time? You know, this is the divinely inspired word of God. This is what he wants to say to you. But if we're honest, we're probably checking our phone or getting another 20 minutes of sleep. So, a couple of really simple keys that can make this commitment stick. And we touched on a few of these last week. And again, these might sound super practical, but I firmly believe that buying an alarm clock is a deeply spiritual act. Buying an alarm clock, for me, is a massive difference in my prayer life and my Bible reading, because actually, it gets me up early and my phone's out of the room. And that links to the second one that you might want to try, a second key. And again, there's loads we can do. We'll discuss this in Hubs, but here's just an idea. And we said it last week, which is to put the Bible first. Can you open up your Bible before you turn on your phone or before you check the news? This is a challenge for me because I love American politics. And at the moment, like, we're asleep whilst it's all going down. And so the temptation to turn on Twitter and have a look what on earth has happened is so strong. But I know if I do that, I'm starting my day not with what God wants to say, but with what BBC News or CNN is telling me. I want to make my first priority his word. So maybe that is a key that you want to put into practice. Whatever it is, whatever for you helps you dig deeper into God's word. The point is that this isn't a telling off. This isn't some, you know, just long list that we have to apply all of it. It's about saying, I want to be committed to God's word. I want to be committed to putting it first in my life. When we do that, when we make that such a key part of our life, we practice that God and me exercise, we get a chance to say, actually, I'm taking care of my own soul, that I am diligently looking after my faith. We can be like a tree that's planted by streams of living water. Our faith doesn't have to wither. We don't have to feel fruitless. What would it be like if we as a church, in this time when everything else is stripped away, took this opportunity to really dig into our Bibles, to fall in love again with what God is saying to us? I promise you this, if you make a commitment to the Bible, if you can make a commitment to each day walk and listen to what God is saying, it will change your life. I promise you this, the Bible tells us, Psalm 1 tells us that if we plant ourselves, if we commit to being by that stream of living water, we will grow. We won't just whimper away in the circumstance of the world, but we will bear fruit. And so this is our big idea for this week, that reading the Bible can help us keep our soul diligently when we make a commitment to go deeper, wider, and longer as we read it. So, as I said, we're going to take a bit of time this week in Hubs to digest this, talk about what it looks like for you. But just before, as the band come up and we go into a time of worship, I want to pray for us, because this, again, isn't a case of just human will and fighting through. This is asking God to continue to speak to us and to help us to fall in love with his word. So, God, we thank you that you have spoken. We thank you that your word is alive, it's active, and it changes our life. And we just ask now, God, that as we commit at the start of the year to have a game plan for our faith, that we would put you first, that you would help us fall in love with your word. Amen.